All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, boo-boo queens.
How's it? Boo-boo queens. That sounds very sick. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you? How's your week? Did we record in enough time for us to go over our last weekend?
No, we didn't.
How's your weekend and your full week? How's your full week been?
Last weekend was fun. What did we do? So much.
Oh, we went to Family Style Fest.
What did we do on Friday?
Record.
What did we do on Saturday? That was on Sunday. Something happened on Saturday. We went somewhere. That is a shame. We're getting too old. We're getting too old.
I can't remember what we did on
Saturday. Oh, you know what we did? I remember now. It came to me. We went to dinner. For you and Ty, with you and Ty. Oh my God, Saturday was wild. That's probably why it's erased from our memory, because Saturday, it ended up being a wild night. It did.
It did.
We went to Katana.
We went to Katana. Y'all, if y'all haven't noticed already, we ain't even recording in the same place.
You didn't even have to tell them.
I'm telling them because I want to.
You didn't even have to tell them. But we went to Katana for dinner to celebrate the Libras, Ty, and Germany. So we went to Katana, had a little dinner, had some drinks, a lot of drinks, and got fucked up, y'all. I woke up on Germany's couch frazzled. I woke up frazzled. I haven't been lit like that in so long. It was a shot.
It was. And you know, we're not getting like that again.
No.
That was crazy as hell.
It was. It was
that
wild.
Was crazy. I'm like, what the hell is going on? What the hell was going on? Once I was sleeping my top from the night before, I'm like, this is not right.
Yeah, it was sick. It was crazy.
I still had on my same top.
We really got lit, y'all. We really got lit. But overall, it was a fun night.
It was a fun night. And then Friday, we went to Family Style Fest.
Sunday.
And ended, on Sunday. See, I'm backtracking. Back to the future.
Right.
And then ended the night at the Isaiah Rashad concert.
Which was
nice
lit.
Nice and early. It was good. It was a nice time. You know, I tried to go back and listen to some of the music.
It didn't connect the same. Had to be an in-person.
I'm glad that brother performed it. I'm glad he performed it. Seriously. The current album, The House is Burning, is good, but I can't go back and listen to the previous content.
Okay, sometimes you just gotta meet them right where they are at the current. Yeah. No, for real. Rarely ever do I go back. When I stumble up on people a lot of the times, I just listen to like the new that hits for me. I rarely do digging because sometimes it's like it hits a little different.
Yeah, imagine digging at like old SZA.
Yeah.
SZA.
Yeah, SZA. With SZA, there were only a few of her songs that hit for me, like Babylon and Pre-Control. Pre-Control.
Yeah.
It was like the one-offs, but the full projects weren't given until Control.
Control is where it took off. So yeah, last weekend was good. This weekend, I've been on vacation.
Blessed.
Blessed. I'm currently out in Miami, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Celebrating my birthday. So we're doing a virtual recording thanks to the technology gods.
Yeah, thanks to the technology gods, we're able to still show up and out.
Yeah, that's it.
Look at that.
So what's on your agenda for this weekend?
This weekend... This weekend, you know, I'm going to be outside. I got a few little plans up my sleeve. Hanging out with Kayla tomorrow. And, yeah, the rest I'll talk to y'all about later.
Period.
Yeah.
Catch us on Patreon.
Period. Catch me out over there.
Catch us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Speaking of Patreon.
Before we get to Patreon, I mean, we can go there. But I have something else to say about the ratings and the reviews.
That's I'm talking about it all. So yeah. Let's get it.
So it looks like our threat was well received last week because the girl showed up in Vans. You guys showed up in Sprinters. And we need you to keep showing up in these Sprinters. Whatever form of transportation you're using to show up like this, gang in the ratings and reviews, keep showing up. Period.
Period. Because we're currently at 1,912 ratings and reviews, and we like that. Y'all know that's only 78 more to our goal.
Oh, is it 78? Yeah, that's 78.
78 more. No, terrible.
It's 80.
Yeah, 78. 80? Damn.
Germany style.
Are we this bad? Oh, wait, 78. I hate math, y'all.
We need 88.
88?
We need 88.
Okay, that's what it is. I was off by 10, so what?
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all, come through with your 88 ratings and reviews before December 31st. That's easy to do.
That's easy to do. We appreciate y'all.
If you love us the way you say you love us, and we're doing what we have to do, we're doing our part coming here, despite obstacles, I need y'all to do the same.
Yeah, because she's on the birthday trip recording, so.
Period.
Yes.
Okay.
Come through.
It's because I love y'all.
So let's read our review of the week. This one comes from Nalani2. She says, my besties, I didn't know I needed. It has taken me way too long to write this review. I'm not the reviewer type. But when you ladies go in, I feel like you are talking to me, LOL. I've been listening to your pod for a couple months now, and you two never disappoint with the content. I definitely feel like you both are my girls, and I love that this is something I can feel when I'm listening. Definitely homegirl vibes here.
Yay, I love it. You know what, there were a lot of ratings and reviews because I didn't know that all these ones came in. I'm looking now and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
don't let us threaten, don't make us have to threaten y'all.
We don't want to threaten you, so just come through. I know it takes work. You know, I had to check myself because I was like, well, I'm telling these girls to do their part. There's parts that I need to do for the podcast that I listen to, so.
But are they telling you to do it?
Sometimes you don't need to be told, but the fact that we are telling you means you really should.
It is different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So come on through.
Now we can get to
Patreon. Yeah.
So y'all already know. I see y'all nosy too. That's what I'm really learning about the squad. I'm learning that our little girl gang over here that we have is nosy as hell.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, and y'all wanted all of Brittany's tea.
That's so why y'all came.
A lot of new patrons. Brittany, go ahead and shout them out.
So we have Germany. Not confused.
Not this one.
not be confused one. With the girl we have here. But there's another Germany. We have Lala.
Hey, Lala.
We have Asher.
Hey, Asher.
Selena.
Hey, Selena girl. Welcome to the gang.
May.
Hey, May.
Sarita.
Sarita.
Anna.
Hey, Anna.
And Maria.
Hey,
Maria.
Maria.
Hey, girl. Hey, boo-boo.
Welcome to our squad.
Oh, and one more. Therese.
Hey, Therese.
Welcome to Patreon, where we tell our business.
Yes, it's good to have y'all over there. Welcome to the squad.
So, if you want to join us on Patreon, that information is down in the show notes. We share check-ins where we talk about things happening with us throughout the month. I have some more updates to share, you know, just life updates. We do playlists. We have audio and visual affirmations. We have journal prompts and, all types of cool shit. We're going to have a special bonus episode for our dating series with some cool guests over on Patreon too. So get over there now.
Super excited. So last week's episode was a goodie. We talked with Aaliyah Lovely about manifesting the perfect love. She dropped so many gems. We talked about releasing the myth of time. We talked about preparing yourself for the partner that you ultimately wish to manifest. And just overall, a really great conversation about bringing the person forward.
Yeah.
That's already out there waiting for you.
Such an expansive conversation. I've been enjoying this series.
Same.
I have. It's been a goodie.
If you haven't listened, go ahead and check that out so that you're fully up to speed with today's conversation.
Right. It's a good segue. So this week we brought on another special guest, Franny, of the Dear Franny podcast, True Love Society. And she talks to us about all things in regards to dating when it comes to recognizing your dating patterns and breaking them, how to identify your dating archetypes. We talked about flirting, gaining love confidence so you can step out into these motherfucking streets like a boss.
Get out there, y'all.
Get out there. This was a great conversation. We know you all are going to enjoy it. Franny shares where to find her at the end of the episode, so make sure you listen to the end. And yeah, I guess let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. So welcome back to our dating series. Today we have a special guest that we feel like is perfect for this conversation because this series is all about empowering our dating experiences. And I don't remember exactly how I stumbled upon Franny, but she provides so much useful information to help empower us when we're navigating this dating space, which can sometimes be intimidating. So today we have Francesca Hoagie, who is the host of the Dear Franny podcast. She's a love and dating coach and a human design coach. She teaches.
We love human design.
We do. We love it so much. So Franny teaches people how to find true love without settling. Yes, more of that. We need more of that. So, Franny, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Brittany. Thanks, Germany. I'm really excited to be here and talk to you about my favorite topic.
We are excited too. So Brittany did give a general overview of who you are, but would you mind going into detail about your journey and what brought you here?
Yeah, I know that's always, people are like, how did you end up being a love coach? That's like everyone's first question.
Yeah.
It was a very long and winding road. I did a lot of things before becoming a coach. Most notably, I was an attorney, and so I practiced law for a number of years. And the whole time that I was doing that, I always knew that this was not what I was here to do. And not that it was the worst job in the world, but it just knew that it was not the right thing for me. But I got stuck there for a while because, you know, you go to law school, you start working as a lawyer. It's like not that easy to, it's a leap to break out of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had loans to pay. I had, you know, all of the cost of living to maintain. So I had a lot of, so I just had a lot of obstacles or perceived obstacles at the time to, you know, breaking out of that. But eventually, as time went on and other things happened, I went on Survivor. It was a disaster. I went back on Survivor. It was even more just equally disastrous. And after that, I was like, okay, like, there are too many things in my life that are not working right now. And I'm no longer willing to settle for spending all of my precious life force energy and time doing work that I don't care about. And I became really committed. I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, universe, but, you know, like, show me, because I, you know, it's time for me to break out here. And all along this many years of this journey, what was also going on for me personally was I was on this like whole quest to find love. And it was something that, you know, I just had a very strong motivation to just to figure it out, to figure out dating. I used to not have that motivation to figure out dating, and I didn't date at all. And it wasn't until I actually graduated from law school when I was like, okay, I am like an adult lawyer. I need to like get this together, you know, like I really need to figure out like how to date, like how to connect, because this is what I'm doing now is not working for me. So that started this journey of me literally like teaching myself how to date. And, you know, going online, and I was the only person I knew who was doing online dating, but I was like, I don't know how else I'm going to figure this out. So I got to do it. And so just, you know, I had to actively like teach myself how to flirt, like all this on and on and on and on. And, because I was so motivated and I was just unwilling to give up, even though I got stuck in patterns for a while that weren't working, I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to break this pattern. So I just kept on like, just, there was something in me where just every time I hit a roadblock, I had a few setbacks, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that happens.
And I had some patterns that definitely went on a little bit longer than they needed to. Right. But ultimately I just was very motivated to figure it out. So dating and love and romance was something that was very central to my personal journey in life, but it took a while for me to make a connection of like, oh wait, like all of this that you've learned and all of this growth that you've made in this area, like maybe do something with that. And I even had a dating advice blog back when I was a lawyer, for fun, because I just like talking about dating, you know? And so it wasn't until I heard about a Black male matchmaker named Paul Brunson. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, I haven't heard of him.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. You should definitely look him up. His name is Paul C. Brunson.
We need to have him on.
Yes.
And he's incredible. And he doesn't actually matchmake anymore now. He's more of a TV personality and he's an author and all these things. But at the time he was still like working with clients one-on-one matchmaking. And somebody had mentioned him to me and that she followed him on Twitter. And I was like, there is a Black male matchmaker? Like, right. What? You know, my mind was blown. And so I was like, I got to look him up. So I started following him on Twitter. And just through getting to, like, just hearing what he had to say, I was like, wow, I really love this guy. He has, like, a real passion for helping people, like, really find healthy relationships. And he wound up tweeting that he was going to be speaking at the Matchmaking Institute conference in New York. Wow. And I was like, there's a Matchmaking Institute?
That's what my mind said. I'm like, there's a whole institute for this shit? We should all be couples.
Exactly. I was like, there's a conference? I was like, wait. And literally, I responded to his tweet, and I was like, I want to go. And he said, you should come. And I was like, okay. And I did. And I went to that conference, and that changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah, that was how it started.
Whoa.
So when you went to this, went to this conference, did you set out to be a matchmaker or to just get some tips to help you in your personal dating life? Because I would have been like, let me get over here and get some gems. What do I need to do? How do I need to be in the streets?
It was,
how do I need to move?
It was a little, well, I was in a relationship at the time.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I was like, this is my person and we're going to be together forever necessarily. So I did, part of me was like, you know, that openness for me to understand love better myself. But I also, this is when I was like looking for something else to do career-wise. And I was like, if there are people who get paid to meddle in other people's love lives, like, I love meddling in other people's love lives. I've been doing that for free since I was 12 years old.
So let's get paid.
So I definitely went thinking like, oh, this might be something that I can do.
Gotcha. That is so cool. Like, I've only seen matchmakers on TV, like Married at First Sight. Of course, I love that show. And like in movies where people are like, I'm just so tired. I need a matchmaker. Find me my perfect person. And then we'll just run off into the sunset, which is fake. But that's the only way I've seen them.
And that's exactly how I felt. When I went to that conference, what happened was I met all these people that were just regular people, but this was their job. And I was like, you know, these people aren't any more anything than me. Like, if they can do it, I can do it. They weren't some magical beings. They were just people who just worked hard to try to match their clients. And I was like, I actually like working hard. I'm probably a little bit of a workaholic. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to work hard anyway. So why not work hard to do something that's actually going to make people's lives better, you know? And so I was totally, and actually you mentioned Married at First Sight. So Paul is, he's one of the hosts of Married at First Sight UK. So the UK series, he's been a host for like the last like 3 seasons. Anyway, just had to do a little shout out. He's my mentor. He's the reason I'm in this industry fully.
Shout out to Paul.
Yeah. So shout out to Paul C. Brunson.
So what would you say is the difference between a matchmaker and a love coach?
Yeah, great question. So a matchmaker actually goes out and finds people to introduce you to. So they do the work of finding the matches, you know, vetting the matches, like, you know, making sure, I mean, a good matchmaker is supposed to really be making sure that this person, you know, getting to know them, interviewing them, making sure that they're looking for the same thing as you, they're interested in you, and then they introduce you. That's what a matchmaker does. In, you know, on the course of doing that, most matchmakers, well, good matchmakers are also doing some coaching because, you know, you mentioned it, like in movies, people have this idea like, oh, if I'm hiring a matchmaker, now I get to have whatever, you know, supermodel, rocket scientist, billionaire I want, right? Really?
Matchmaker is giving job recruiter.
Right?
It's giving Indeed.com.
Yeah. You know, and it's like just because you're paying somebody, like they still exist in the same world as you, right? Mm-hmm. And so most people who, if you go to a matchmaker with that attitude, the chances that you're going to be successful are not great because you're just looking for something that doesn't exist. You're looking for this idea of perfection that doesn't exist. I started as a matchmaker and I started working with my own clients and I also started working with Paul and I actually wound up becoming the lead matchmaker and coach for his agency when he was still matchmaking. So, working with his clients, working with my own clients, it was very, very, very clear that the people that we could match are the ones that we could coach. And Paul is an amazing coach, right? Mm. And so he would get a lot of clients who didn't want to be coached, right? And so the ones who didn't want to be coached, they just wanted to just introduce me to him. And also Paul, he's, you know, he's tall, he's handsome, he's chocolate, he's got a, you know, he's giving, right? So he attracted a lot of women who are like, I want you, like you are exactly what I want, like you. But Paul, you know, Paul is married. Paul is not available, but they still had this kind of attitude that like, I'm hiring him, so he's going to find me somebody just like him. And so the people who I could really get them to see past that and really get into like, okay, well, what do you actually need in a partner? Like, what do you actually need in a relationship? Forget about all that superficial thing that you're drawn to that you think that's what you want, you know? And then what is your ability to even have that? Because
that part.
if your heart is closed, right? And you are focused on the wrong thing, you could get introduced to 1,000 people who could actually be an amazing match for you and none of that will connect. And And so the people who didn't want to be coached, open heart, it has to be open. So people who didn't want to be coached, we could not match them. And they were really, really hard to work with. The people who were open to being coached, we could match them, and they were great to work with. So I was like, okay, the coaching piece is what's important here. The matchmaking piece is attracting a lot of people who don't have the right mindset to actually find love.
So I have a question, Franny. I know you mentioned that this whole process and like leaving your job and the whole thing, and you also mentioned that you were in a little relationship, but you didn't feel like this person was your person. So after gaining the knowledge around matchmaking and even transitioning into a love coach, did you feel like it was easy to apply what you learned to your current life so that you could find or be on the track to find the partner that you wanted?
Yes, absolutely. Like my clients have 100% been my biggest teachers. I mean, I don't want to tell everybody who's single to go like become a love coach. This is probably
right.
It is not for everyone. But it helped me because we all just have so many blind spots, right? And so working with my clients who are all amazing, but they had these blind spots, and I'm like, wow, you are like, these people are incredible in so many ways, but there's just like these glaring things that they can't see about themselves. And I'm like, damn, what can I see about myself? You know?
And so
it really, like, once I realized like, oh, this isn't just me. Coaching is not about me.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure. Absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this. You're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today.
Having all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. You know you. I don't know you, right? I can never know the depths of you. My job as a coach is to guide you, is to ask you the questions to help you to understand, to come to your own truth, right? Mm-hmm. And then I help you with the strategy of like, okay, now how do we get you there? But it's you're the one who's doing the work. It's about you. And once I really understood that as a coach, I was like, this is great because I am helping people.
And helping my damn self.
And helping my damn self.
At the same damn time. I love the self-help. I love that. That, you know, that, and Franny, you really do help people, like, as a love coach. Let's get into that because you made a good point. Like, people are just like, hook me up. Like, I'm single. Do you got somebody who's single as well? And we're just expecting to stumble across these people. And then it's like, perfect. Everything goes smooth. But like you said, like, you can be approached by the perfect person for you or someone who's a good catch. And because of your own shit, you wouldn't even be able to recognize it. So that's why we want to, that's what we want to talk about today. How to recognize our own shit, how to change our patterns, how to make some shifts. So when we're approached by or we're manifesting the love that we say that we want, we can really be geared up for it because shit can just be going over our heads and we're wondering, why am I like this? Why am I not? Mm-hmm. Why is it working for this person and it's not working for me? And yeah. Franny, you are well versed in this. So let's talk about the patterns that you mentioned. Like you said, there were some dating patterns that you found yourself being in for way too long. What are these different types of dating patterns? How can we identify that? Ooh, this is a pattern here that I want to shift.
Yes. Oh, such a great question. And Yeah, this is a very important conversation. I'm very excited that we're having it.
Same.
So, yes. Okay. So the first thing is for everyone to, you got to do a little self-assessment here, right? So this is a little come to Jesus, be honest with yourself, look at what's going on, right? So what, if you look at the past 1, 2, 3 years of your life, what has your dating pattern been? Is it that you don't date at all? Is it that you might every once in a while be like, okay, let me just download an app, and then you get on an app and you're on it for 2 weeks and then you get overwhelmed and then you delete it and then you continue to not date at all for 6 months? Is your pattern that you date and nothing ever goes anywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. Or is your pattern that when you meet someone, it's like all hot and heavy and they're the one, and then, you know, 2 months later, it's like, ooh, maybe not, right? Like, so you have to, so you have to just really understand for, like, you have to see your pattern for yourself, right? And understand that not dating at all is also a pattern, because people are like, oh, I don't have a dating pattern, I just don't date. I'm like, that's your pattern.
You're in a pattern, right? Queen. You're in a pattern, queen.
You're in a pattern, yeah. Right? So, you know, so you mentioned before my dating archetypes, and this is exactly why I designed that framework, is because people are in a different place in their love journey, right? And I know, because I was at the time, I've been the person who didn't date at all. And then I was the person who, I started dating, and I started going on lots and lots and lots of dates, but they weren't connecting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I'm good at getting first dates now, but I want to get some second dates too, right?
Right, I want something solid.
Right, and so I went from a pattern of not dating to a pattern of getting a bunch of first dates that didn't go anywhere, to then understanding like, okay, now, so the pattern of not dating at all to dating, that might seem easier to understand how to break it, because it's like, literally, as soon as you start dating, the pattern is broken, okay? Mm-hmm. So you get to change that pattern as soon as you are ready. As soon as you are ready to change it, you can change that instantly. In terms of a pattern, like, you know, like my pattern of going on lots and lots of dates and not connecting, I had to then say, okay, well, why is it not connecting? Because they thought I was, it's not like I expected every guy to want to, you know, marry me, but I'm like, you know, I think like I should be getting some second dates, and I'm not getting any.
Right. Like, what the fuck going on? That's when you start to look in the mirror, like, was I cute? Was I not funny? Yeah. What was going on?
Exactly. You know, and I'm like, it's not like all these dudes are all so amazing that I'm like, maybe. So I literally was like, okay, let me just, I need to have a different mindset here. And so I set a goal for myself that every date I wanted to get asked out on a second date. I wanted to have the option of going on a second date, even if I didn't want to go.
Okay? Ooh, I like that. That's empowering. Okay. Let me make the decision.
That is empowering.
Yeah.
Right? It is empowering.
And so it just changed. So just that experiment, and that's what I want everybody to do, is think about like, okay, even if I don't know exactly what to do, how can I start to experiment and do something differently? Because you are the common denominator in your pattern, right? And so you, as soon as you understand that and empower yourself, then it's like, all right, well, if I am, there's a level which I am choosing or co-creating this pattern, is a better way of putting it, then this is not what I want. So I'm not going to judge myself for it, because when you go into the judgment of whatever your pattern is, that you're going to stay stuck there. So as long as you are judging and criticizing yourself for whatever the pattern is, just get comfortable in that pattern, because that's where you're going to be until you're ready to be more compassionate towards yourself. Because
it always comes back to
compassion. I know, and it does. It always comes back to the self and doing the work. We cannot escape the work, and I hate that for us.
But I love that for us, because the point is that you are in charge of your life.
Yeah.
That's, I think this is better.
I do.
I know, it's just like, damn.
If it was just totally random. No, we can't escape it. And listen, I tried. Oh my God, let me tell you, I spent so many years trying to escape the work. And it's just, please, I got a lot of years on you ladies. Trust me.
No, I totally understand.
Work has to be done.
I totally understand. As someone who was in a long-term relationship for 7 years, and then like from 23 to 30, and then exiting out of that and like being kind of thrown into the dating space, I was shook. I'm like, okay, so now online dating is a thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, that's new. I've never done that. I have all these stigmas about online dating. And I was for sure going in and out of patterns, like going on the apps. It's not for me. I don't like small talk. No, I'm not dating at all. Yeah, no. Like, I've been in all these different patterns. And so I'm like, what is the most healthiest way to date? Like, I obviously want a long-term healthy relationship. So you really do have to look back at yourself. It always comes back to yourself. Like, what are you doing to contribute to the results that you're getting in your life? There's no way to get around that, because it's so easy to blame other people. Like, oh God, niggas ain't shit. Like, that can't be the only resolve. Like, there are people who are in healthy relationships with people who they love. It's impossible for that to be the narrative for everybody. So it's like, hold up the mirror and look at the part that you're playing and stop playing stupid. Like, we can't be aloof through the world. Like, you got to be tapped in. You just have to be.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
It's funny that, like, currently I'm in a relationship, but today and over the last few days as we were preparing for this episode, I was thinking, damn, what were my dating patterns? And I realized, although I was in a long-term relationship back then, it wasn't the complete healthiest. So we would break up, makeup. And because I'm like a serial monogamous or a serial dater almost, I always have a back pocket option. Not now, but in the past. In the past I did. But I was thinking, I'm always, typically in the past, I would always attract, for some reason, people who are not completely available. I think about the guys that I was dating, right, or entertaining. It's like there's some aspect of them that's not completely available. Either they are getting out of a relationship or saying they're going to get out of a relationship. They're not emotionally available. Just all of these different factors. And I'm like, okay, that probably has to do with me.
You weren't emotionally available either.
I wasn't emotionally available all the time. That's true. That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Child, these patterns will whip your ass.
And I noticed in my last relationship that although I had broken some patterns, there was this thread of me like being not fully emotionally available even in the relationship, because I didn't feel safe. And I'm like, that probably created a block, which was the role that I played in the relationship ending. Although he played a role too. That was the part that I played, not being completely emotionally available. And so I think that we can still recognize our patterns even after we're out of the dating stage and we enter into the relationship stage. But I think a good way to help identify some of the patterns, because I've noticed it in what you said, Germany, and what I said, it goes back to those dating archetypes. Can you talk about those, Franny? Because I took the quiz and I'll tell you which one I got after you explain them.
Sure.
I know which one I was, child, without even
I do
it.
Too.
Yeah, I know too. So I first designed them to just have a way, because, you know, when you talk to enough people about any topic, you see the patterns, right? And so after I had, you know, literally probably spoken to thousands of people, I was like, okay, in my mind, when I would talk to someone new, I was starting to sort them into these kind of different buckets. So I was like, let me just make this official and actually, like, you know, put this together in a way that can help people. So basically, I truly, truly believe that a loving, healthy, committed relationship is possible and available to everyone.
Y'all hear that?
And there are multiple people with whom you can have that, okay? And that is true for everyone, okay? So the work is not about, I have to go out and search and find, to try to find love. What it's really about is I need to remove the obstacles within myself that are stopping me from receiving the love that I want.
I love that.
Okay.
Period.
right? So that's all it is. And so when it comes to patterns, you just need to understand, like, if you are, you know, going back to what you were talking about, emotional unavailability, I mean, that's the biggest pattern. It's every other pattern is just a subset of that, right? Basically. And so when you talk about that, you are going to be attracted to people who are at the same level of emotional availability as you.
Say that again. It's like you talking about, I'm talking about you not being available, and girl, I wasn't either.
That's why you were attracted to them. That's why you like them, because they weren't available, right? Because
I'm available now. Like, emotions available.
So there's a part of you that's like, oh, this is a match. This is safe, right? Like, so there it's, and this is why we have to be compassionate towards ourselves. You're not choosing it. None of us is choosing it, right? This is coming from conditioning and trauma and brain chemistry and all sorts of things. It's not your fault, right? So that's just kind of give like the background, right? I want to just give that foundation. So on the journey, on your dating journey, you're different places and your pattern's going to be different depending on where you are in that journey. So on that spectrum, at one end of the spectrum, you have the avoider. And so the avoider is that person who avoids dating. They do not date. If you are very strong in that avoider phase, probably even the people in your life who are closest to you don't even know that you have a desire to be in a relationship, because that's how much you downplay it, brush it off,
right?
Keep yourself incredibly busy. Avoiders do the most for everyone, you know, do the most work, keep their lives very, 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 very full. So there's very little space to even allow that vulnerability, allow that love in. And I know, because I used to be there, right? So that's the avoider.
Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
And again, you get to leave that phase whenever you are ready. You could leave it today, right? Yes. When you're like, okay, I'm finally going to download this app and I'm going to push myself to go on a date in the next 30 days, for instance, right? Yeah. Very simple decision you can make. And as soon as you make that, you're no longer an avoider.
If you're a certified bookaholic like me, you probably love reading, but sometimes find it impossible to read every book that you have on your list. Luckily, there's Audible to make it easier for you and me. Y'all, Audible has an incredible collection of audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive originals available to download or stream anywhere. I love this because it gives me an opportunity to connect deeper with the material. I'm currently listening to The Way of a Superior Man after reading the physical copy, and it is hitting way different, y'all. 10 out of 10, highly recommend. New members can try Audible for 30 days on us. As an Audible member, you'll get one credit every month good for any title in their premium selection. I've never not seen an audiobook that I want to dive into. To take advantage of this offer, visit audible.com/blackgirlbravado or text blackgirlbravado to 500500. That's audible.com/blackgirlbravado or text blackgirlbravado to 500500. Thank you, Audible.
So, and then next you have the looper. So the looper is when you are in a phase where you are actively dating, you're putting yourself out there, but it's like Groundhog Day. Like it just is just the same pattern is just repeating over and over and over again. And you're not getting off the ground, right? So it's like this, if you're in a looper phase, you might have a pattern of maybe a lot of love bombing, right? Mm-hmm. Where you meet someone and they're like, you know, you're the greatest thing ever. And they're giving you all this attention. And you're like, oh my God, this is great. This is great. And then within like a month, it's fizzled out, right? Or you might have a pattern of, you know, you meet someone and it's like, you know, 3-4 dates and then be like, you hook up and it's a little fun, but then they're just kind of like, yeah. And they sort of fade away. Like, so it's, again, you're just, so, it just keeps happening over and over again. Or like me, you just can't pass the first date. Right. That was a big pattern for a mm-hmm. minute there. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in that place, it's really important for you to slow things down. It's time for you to like slow things down, take a step back and be like, okay, how am I co-creating this outcome? Because the pattern cannot exist. It cannot persist without you taking actions to reinforce it. Mm. Right. And so it's literally like when you start to pay attention, and this is what dating with intention is all about. It's about getting clear on what your ultimate goal is. Right. Mm. And owning that. So if you know that you are dating because you want a committed long-term relationship, that's what you want. And that's what you're manifesting, and own that. And so now the process of dating, which is a very important process, and I know everybody wants to skip over it, but it's like, just be intentional about it and use it as the process that it is to help you grow. Mm. Because through dating, you learn so much about yourself. You yeah. learn to be more vulnerable. You learn to be a better communicator. You learn compromise. You learn looking for the good in another person. You learn listening. I mean, it's like you learn so many skills that you mm-hmm. need to be in a healthy relationship.
Facts.
That right? you do.
So everyone who's like in a rush, you're like, I don't want to learn how to flirt. I don't want to learn how to be vulnerable. I don't want to learn how to be open. I just want to get into a relationship. It's like, what do you think that relationship is going to be like?
Mm. Right. Mm. What do you think? Mm.
Right? Child, and who do you think that relationship is going to be with? Because somebody who does have those skills is not going to be interested in you. Not because you're not amazing.
Yeah.
But because you're not a match. Because wow. you don't have the emotional maturity and self-love and self-worth to be in a healthy relationship. And so you won't be.
Now right? we done took it to church, Lord.
You done dropped the bomb. You done dropped the bomb. That wow. is so funny. You know
that is
what?
So ooh. True.
What, Brittany? You what? Specifically been talking about emotional unavailability and like that was a blockage. Not putting your tea out there, but I'm just saying. Imagine everything that you've learned in this prior dating experience, which we hate him, but still, the lessons are the lessons.
The lessons.
It's the fact that. Yeah, it's like you took away this idea of like, okay, perhaps I've been had this emotional block up. I need to work on this. And then your next dating experience, you're going to attract somebody who is emotionally available because you too will be emotionally available.
Exactly. I'm already seeing like a shift. I'm already seeing a shift in my openness and like the type of people that I've been communicating with. I'm like, this is real. That needed to happen. For yes. that to be brought up, especially being in such a deep-rooted relationship where you're so comfortable and you're kind of on autopilot and you're not really aware of how you're... I mean, you can be, but I wasn't. I wasn't really aware of how I was showing up. I didn't have the knowledge of, like, what a healthy relationship really looked like because I entered it so young and didn't have that much life experience. But that little stint... really woke up something inside of me. And I'm like, you know what? thank you. You're sick as fuck, but thank you. Like, I need it. Every experience matters. And like what Franny said, you need to date. You need to date.
It's the same thing for myself. That previous experience before I got with my most amazing honey here, it was kind of sick. And I'm like, Lord, teach me patience because this motherfucker is driving me crazy. But here I am, patient today.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Your biggest heartaches and your most painful relationships have the most to teach you. So please just get the message and get the lesson, get the real lesson. And this is why I'm such a broken record, but I always go to self-compassion, because if you're like, okay, well, I'm so stupid, or why was I with them, or why was I there for so long, or why, and you're judging yourself and you're criticizing yourself, or you're, even if you're stuck in anger at them, right? Mm. And you're blaming them and it's all their fault and you're vilifying them and you're none of that serves you. Literally none of it. So if you want to move on and actually have the love that you want, it starts with taking the act of love towards yourself, of just accepting it. It happened.
Yeah. But we love to vilify them,
right?
Put it on them.
It's all their fault, right? Because the biggest asshole that you were attracted to, you were attracted to them. The fact that they were attracted to you is kind of irrelevant. The fact that you were like, ooh, yes, big asshole, I want to date you.
That is so true. They were looking beautiful before.
Right? That's what you got to talk about. And that's what you have to focus on, because that's your choice. Right?
Wow.
So when you start to understand, then you can make different choices and then you break the pattern. So getting back to the looper, when you're in that looper phase, you have to start to look at your own choices, and you can't do that unless you slow things down. Okay. So you got to take the step back, do the little assessment, like come to Jesus moment, be real with yourself about what you're doing that's working, what you're doing that's not. Mm-hmm. And then just decide you're going to start to take a different action, knowing that it's going to feel uncomfortable at first. Okay. Mm-hmm. The pattern is comfortable. So
that's why we keep doing it.
You may not like it. You may be like, well, this doesn't feel comfortable, but it feels familiar. And the subconscious mind equates familiarity with comfort and safety, even if what's familiar is dysfunctional as hell. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you got to do that. You got to do a little bit of work to start to change that program. And then after the looper, you have the surfer phase. And so the surfer phase is when you are much better at getting into relationships. Like, you're much better into making a lasting connection. However, you also may fall into the trap of getting into relationships too quickly. So if you think of like the surfer on the beach, like you're just like looking for that wave and you're like, oh, wave. And you just make that quick decision. You paddle out and then you're on the wave. And now you're going to be on this wave for a while. And maybe it's the wave you thought it was going to be, but maybe it's not. Right. And so, so surfers get very mixed results in their dating life. Right. You can like kind of get lucky and be like, okay, this person is pretty cool. But then the next person you're like, ooh, what is this? Right. So it's really important, if you're in that surfer phase, to understand that you are overvaluing instant chemistry.
Ooh, child, I've been on my board many times.
I got surfer on the quiz.
I have been on my board.
I need to stay on the shore, because I don't want to go on no more rocky waters.
I have been on a board. Okay.
So have I. So similar to loopers, you got to slow it down and you got to start to understand what you truly, truly need, right? So when you're in an avoider phase, the main thing is like, you got to get comfortable dating. You have to get comfortable putting yourself out there.
Right.
Like, you want that long-term relationship, but you're not ready for it yet. And that's fine. You can get ready quickly, but you got to get ready. Like, so you have to just get in the mix, right? Whereas when you are in the surfer phase, now it's time for you to get really clear on what you actually need, right? Mm-hmm. And you need to stop confusing your wants with your needs.
Ooh.
right? And you have to make sure that you are not over investing in people before they've demonstrated to you that they are actually ready, able, and willing to be the kind of partner that you're looking for. So that is the work of the surfer. And then once you do that, because you are really good at meeting, you're good at connecting, you're good at getting relationships, you don't have any challenge on that front. It's really about you focusing on you and your needs and starting to take much more responsibility for your partner selection.
Period. Weeding these people out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about dating. It's supposed to be a weeding out process.
Yeah.
So this idea that you're supposed to just like fall in love with everybody on a first date is not, that's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. Right. It takes time to get to know people and their character and their consistency. And you just, you know, so the more you're intentional and you're paying attention to how people are communicating with you, what they are saying, the level of enthusiasm, the level of consistency, right? What are they, what can they articulate to you that they are looking for in a relationship? Because if you're looking for a committed relationship and you are dating people who are like, yeah, I don't know what I'm looking for, or maybe one day, that person is not ready for a relationship. So you can continue to date them and hope against hope, but how much of your heart and your time are you willing to gamble on this person maybe one day getting ready?
And that's the that's the boat that I used to sail to. I used to surf to that boat and hop right on. It's that. It's always that piece. It's like somebody will openly tell you, I don't want that. I'm not looking for that. And I don't know if it's as women, but we will be like, I can nurture you enough and make you fall in love. And then we will live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's We've been brainwashed.
Yes.
We've been brainwashed by the fairy tale industrial complex. We've been brainwashed by the patriarchy. We've been brainwashed to have this pick me mentality.
Mm. Yes.
We've been brainwashed to be more focused on being in a relationship, period, versus being in a relationship that actually fulfills our lives with a healthy relationship. So, you know, it's a lot of conditioning that we've been getting our whole lives, and it's been reinforced a million times. Like, you have been told as a woman, it is your job to be patient and it's your job to do more to get him to want to be with you. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that has been used for so much domination, manipulation, selling you so many things. Oh, they sell us so many things.
They really sell it, and we be buying it. What you want, cash, Venmo,
We buy it all, and it's all, if you look at like so much of the marketing and advertising to women, it's all this idea of you doing more to be enough to be chosen, right?
We love to do that. We love to be like, I'm the one you want, pick me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do I need to do? Am I doing enough?
Yes. Damn. So if you have that pick me mindset, you're going to attract and be attracted to people who have that same mindset. So it will be like, yeah, dance for me. Right.
And that's when I had to take my shoes off. I got
lots of options here. So you have to be patient. You have to put up with it. You have to do more to be the one who's left standing. It's this competition and love is scarce. That's some dysfunctional shit. And in our community, it's like, I mean, it's everywhere. The fairy tale industrial complex comes for everyone. I don't care your color or anything. It doesn't matter. No one is immune to it. But I do get especially frustrated in the Black community. So much of the conversation about romance is this pick me. And, you know, it's like, I got to be this high value woman to be chosen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't, that's a whole other discussion that makes me crazy. But anyway,
well, you were hitting the nail on the head.
So you were worthy. You were born worthy, period. No one gave you your worthiness and no one can take it away. That is your birthright. So you don't need a man to validate you anyway. But let me just wrap up these archetypes really quick. So after the surfer, we have the sailor. So the sailor is someone who is very in control of their love lives. The sailor is the person who's like, oh, I'm ready to be in a relationship. And then like, bam, they're in a relationship. No problem finding long-term committed partners, but And so it is good in that regard, because they're very empowered to know that they can make that happen whenever they want. However, just because you're good at getting into long-term relationships doesn't mean that those relationships are still the right relationship for you. Mm-hmm. So for a sailor, you still need to make sure, okay, am I doing the serial monogamous thing because I am not comfortable being with myself? Ooh, shit. Am I doing the serial monogamous thing because I want to? Because it could be a choice. I actually have a friend who, she decided years ago, she's not into polyamory. Like, she tried it. She's like, she doesn't want to have multiple people at the same time. She's like, that's too much drama. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. she does really like falling in love. And she's somebody who, like, she's had many, like, year to 2 year long relationships. And she loves that. She's like, she learned so much, and it's like enough time for her. And then she's like, yep. And then she's ready to move on. Oh. And that's a choice she's made for herself. And yeah. She has actively chosen. That's what she wants to do for the rest of her life. And I'm like, you know what? And she's like, maybe I'll change my mind one day, but this is what she's been doing for years. And I love it.
Whoa.
I love it. I'm like, and she's also just generally a very different kind of person.
Yeah.
But like, I love that she's made that choice and it's very empowered. But for those of us who are not, like, you know, I don't have the bandwidth for that. Like,
me either. I just need a man.
You know, I can't even imagine what would have to happen for me to want to break up with my boyfriend.
Aww.
I'm
just, me, girl, I be telling him he ain't never leaving. I said, stay forever.
Like, I'm like, it's just, I'm like, this is, no, we're just going to do this forever, because it's just.
He mine and I'm going to stick beside him. That's how I be when I have something just good, or if I feel like it's good in the moment. Stick beside me. I don't want to go back to the streets.
Me either. I have such serial monogamous energy. I do not play around. I'm never without a honey.
That's because you had those back.
I'm always with someone.
That's because you had those back pocket options.
Exactly. Mm.
And so,
I do.
And so, looking at that and saying, you know, and understanding, like, okay, why do I feel safe?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Am I willing to? Because our fear of vulnerability, our fear of being hurt, I think it's very logical, right? It's logical, right? To love is to risk pain. And actually, it's the pain of losing whoever you love is inevitable, because one day you're going to die, right?
And I hate that. We hate talking about that, Franny. We do not want to.
But here's the thing. It liberates you when you just, like, Maya Angelou said something, and I'm not going to totally misquote her, but I'll just tell you the gist of what she said.
Yeah, it ain't verbatim.
Once you realize that you're gonna die, it's like, oh, well, that is the biggest fear, and it's inevitable, so why bother being afraid of it now? And if I'm not afraid of that, why should I be afraid of anything? Right?
I'm still afraid. Sorry, Maya.
You are crazy as hell.
And I love Maya, but Lord.
No, but here, Germany, here's the thing. You, and this is for everyone, because look, none of us is like, yay, I'm going to die one day. Woohoo, right? It's not like, I mean, actually, I am kind of curious. I'm like, what's going to happen? What's the Ooh. Whole next, like, phase Ooh. Of my soul's existence going to be like? Will I remember what it's like to be Francesca? Probably not. No. But anyway, I won't. But the point is that it's all about knowing that you will be okay no matter what. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like trusting yourself to know that, yeah, even if I'm in a relationship and I open my heart and it doesn't work out and I'm sad and I have to grieve and deal with that disappointment, and like, I will be okay.
Right.
You know? And so it's just developing that inner resilience and that inner trust. And once you understand that, and once you're more willing to understand that, like, really self-love, there's no shortcut. Trust me, I tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always comes right? back to this.
It always comes back to that. Then it's like, well, I'm going to be okay. And then it is safe to open my heart, mm-hmm. right? Because if you think that somebody truly, truly, truly seeing you for who you are is going to, it is terrifying. Like, you literally on a subconscious level think you're going to die. You think you're going to die if somebody truly loves you for who you are.
Mm.
Like, that's mm-hmm. how deep the fear is, yeah. right? Yeah. And so, but that's in a complete conflict to what true intimacy is.
Mm. Get
so
naked.
You have to start to, get so naked. You have to start to change that relationship with the fear. And so my, and cause fear is just, that's just human. We all ultimately fear death. That's how we've survived as a species.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, so that's part of just being human. So it's just something to accept. And I think that's just what Maya Angelou is really trying to say. It's just like, just accept it.
Yeah.
Don't be mad about it. Just be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I am going to die one day. All right. Like, that's scary. So is there anything I can do about that today? No.
Right. No.
Literally nothing I can do today. So I might as well just focus on living my life while I have it. Right.
That's what we have to do. So, Franny, what I want to talk about is you briefly mentioned that sailors, Brittany, have like a high love confidence, right? How do we build our love confidence to eventually get to the point where we are having these healthy dating experiences and eventually even get into a healthy relationship?
Yeah, amazing. So I'm glad you mentioned it. I was like, should I talk about love confidence? And I'm like, see, I'll be here all day just going on and on. So I was like... So love confidence is, you know, it's a spectrum. And just like, so if you're a sailor and you're looking to strengthen your love confidence, I think that honestly, just really having the clarity, looking at the relationship that you had, you have a lot of relationship experience to pull from, so it's really good. And getting the most clear on, okay, what were the parts of these relationships that were the most fulfilling, right? What are the parts of these relationships that weren't? And so like, what do I absolutely know that I must have going forward? And what do I know? I don't ever want that again, right? Mm. And so once you get to that place of clarity, because now the only shift that you have to make as a sailor is to understand, not only can I have love and I can find someone, you know, who wants to be committed to me, but I can also find the right person. Mm-hmm. So, and understanding, like, just as easily as you can find somebody who's like, good enough for now, you can also just as easily find somebody who you actually would want to keep around forever, right? Mm-hmm. And so just getting that perspective shift and then starting to go out and try dating a little bit, right? So rather than just relationshipping, just date a little bit. So take some time. Get to know some people, resist your temptation to get into a relationship after the first date.
Who are you pointing at?
This one.
Because I'm like, you know, it's feeling like a vibe.
Yeah.
But let's do this.
Eliminate.
I'll find out your last name later. Yeah. So because your confidence will grow when you have a different result, right? So when you start, but you can't have a different result if you don't take that time. But so that's if you're in the sailor, but if you're an avoider right now, you just need to show yourself that you can date, that it's something that you can do, and it's something that you can find a way to be confident in. And that flirting is a really important part. If you want love, but you have difficulty flirting, that is a huge internal conflict. That is a love block.
Mm. I'm blocking.
Flirting is an essential dating skill because it is about connection. It's about vulnerability. It's about opening yourself up to receive that from another person and giving it to another person. It's about getting like that excitement and that spark. It's about like, you know, it's because chemistry is not, it feels like it's this magical thing that's outside of ourselves, but it's not, right? So we are always co-creating that chemistry, and you can intentionally co-create that chemistry, right? You see somebody and there's a spark and you can either like smother it and be like, oh my God, I actually made eye contact with that person and run away, which is what I used to do. So I say that with love. When I tell you I had to actively teach myself how to flirt, I'm not kidding. I was like, okay, I never get approached, right? I totally freaked out if I accidentally make eye contact with somebody who, God forbid, I find him attractive, right? I'm now going to run away.
And
I was like, this seems like my behavior here is at odds with what I actually want, right?
Yeah.
And I never get approached, but I see lots of women getting approached all the time. And it's not like I'm the most unattractive woman in the world. Like, there, maybe there's something else going on here. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I literally, and I have one friend in particular who she became like my little, I was like a little stalker because we would go out and I would just watch her.
Like, what you doing, girl? You staring? Are you, what are you doing?
Because
are you twirling?
Like, literally everywhere we went, this woman would meet a man. Like, she was just one of those people. She'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going on a date with this guy I met on the corner. I'm like, what? How'd you do that? Like, every time she'd go to a party, she'd go to everywhere she went, she'd always get approached. And it's like, I mean, and she's great and she's attractive, but it's not like she's, you know, Beyonce,
Lori,
right?
Hart,
like, she's
right.
Like, she's just like, she's just a regular person.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And whatnot. And so I started watching her and I noticed, like, no matter where she was, she just like would walk with this energy, like very kind of like this, I can't really describe it other than to say is like very like shoulders back, very open. And she would kind of just like look around and kind of just have this very kind of gentle kind of smile on her face all the time.
Okay.
So every time she walked into the room, it was just kind of like, hi, everybody. Like, that was her energy.
That's what I'm gonna do, because I be having the RBF, the resting. It's just automatic, a resting.
Exactly.
Face. I need to be having my shoulders back.
Just
Brittany
just
has a very strong. Brittany, you have the energy that says, "Don't come to me if you ain't about
shit." No, I don't. I don't.
You
have that.
No. You're a very serious woman. You are not no shit taking woman. So these men need to come to you ready to go. Okay, that's not a bad thing.
But the thing is, when you have that energy that is more closed off, all you are doing is attracting men who are now seeing you as a challenge and they want to break through the barrier as the challenge. But they're not, people who are really interested and open-hearted, they're not attracted to people whose hearts are closed. It's not, it doesn't compute. It's not a match.
Challenge.
No.
So really quick, this is what I'm saying, and I need every single woman to hear me right now, because that difference in energy. I have a friend, and she just reminded me of this recently, because I told her this. I was like, I said that out loud because it's so true. I'm like, I'm glad I said it, but it stuck with her. That I said that when she goes out, she has the energy of somebody who has a husband and three kids waiting at home for her, right?
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh, like, I'm not even here for this. I'm spoken for.
Right? So it wasn't like she was unfriendly. It was just like, hey, okay, nice to meet you. I'm good. You know, like, it was very at a distance, right? And so as a result, she never met any, she's very social, so she'd meet lots of people. She'd meet lots of men, but not anything romantic. And so she felt like she was going through life feeling like, I'm not like, men don't like me. I'm not approachable. I'm not attractive enough or whatever. And it's like, no, honey, you just acting like you got a husband and three kids at home. Think about shifting that energy to be more like, hi, I'm open. I'm here. Right. And see how that changes. And so it has changed. I'm happy to report.
Leave them invisible kids and husband out of it.
So everyone needs to like really just be honest with yourself. What am I communicating non-verbally? Because that is so powerful. I promise you. So as soon as I started this, I was like, okay, I need to check my energy. I need to understand that, yeah, I might feel uncomfortable making eye contact with someone, but guess what? I got to do it anyway. So I got to desensitize myself to it.
So now we're just staring.
So now, but then once you realize like, oh, it's going to be okay. I can look at someone, I can smile, I can have fun with this, right? I can discover my power to just like look at somebody from across the room and get him to come over and talk to me, you know, like,
ooh,
that's, I know, like, how to do
that.
So you know how to do it when you want to do it, right? And so what would happen if you just started to embody that energy more often? Like, what kind of serendipity would you court? Because I actually did meet my boyfriend walking down the street in LA, right?
Oh, and wow.
So, we love those.
So that's not something that would have happened if I had not gone through the process of understanding that I need to take responsibility for the energy that I'm bringing into the world. And if I want to attract people to me, I need to make sure that, like, energetically, there's an opening for that to happen. So
I love that.
If anyone does not know how to flirt and does not know how to open themselves up to that energy, who is listening to this, like, that's your homework right now. That is your first order of business. And when you start to do that and practice that and get more confident at that, it's going to change your life. I promise you.
That was a gem, because one of the homegirls was like, how can a boring person who doesn't want to get on dating apps attract people? And then it's like, you got to do something. Like, okay, you go to the grocery store, you go wherever you go, that's not the dating app, right? You might not even go out frequently to social gatherings, but wherever you go, you got to be in the mindset of I'm open. And it's not saying like there's a balance, because we've all seen the people who are doing too much, like, girl, you're a little thirsty trying to get everybody's attention. But
yes,
what you said, Franny, is just, I don't want to say simple, but it's toned down, but it's
still simple.
Yeah, it's not simple, yeah. if you're challenged.
It's energy.
It's energy. It's just like, you know what? I'm open. Like, if we're sitting there and we're like mad dogging everybody, of course they're not going to come up. So just, you know, smile, stare, you know.
Have the shoulders back.
And it's not, I actually have a flirting workshop that people can buy if anyone is interested, because this is such a foundational skill that you need. But you also have to understand, like, there's different styles of flirting, and it's not like you're like going like, hey, big boy, and it's all about being sexy, right? Because it's not, because there's a time and a place, and I know how to do that too. And that's fun if that's where you are and that's what you're looking for, right? But it's literally just understanding that good guys or good people who aren't creeps, who don't want to make you uncomfortable, who aren't interested in chasing after unavailable people, if you want those people to be attracted to you, you have to do the work to let them know that you're open to that. And if you don't, they will pass you by. Not because you're not beautiful, not because you're not amazing, not because you're not, you know, somebody who they would ideally like to date. It's just because your energy isn't a match for theirs. So that's so, so important. And the last thing I'll say about this is that in the pickup artist community, and are you familiar with the pickup artist community?
I am not.
Okay. So it's just this little underculture subset of men who they teach each other pickup art. It's called PUAs, right? It's like a Reddit, you know, there's Reddit threads. It's a whole, there's men who coach other men in this whole like pickup artist strategy. And there's a whole, it's a rabbit hole. I don't encourage you to go down it. Because it's dark.
Oh my God.
But basically, the whole point of this community is that they're just teaching each other like tricks and tactics to manipulate women into sleeping with them. Okay.
Oh, now I gotta keep my head on a swivel.
And so, but here's the thing, it's really easy. They only target women who they sense lack confidence. So their whole thing is that you go to the bar, you go to the club, who's the one in the group who's looking more shy, who's looking more closed off, who's looking less confident, that's the one they target. So that's an extreme example of how when you have that protective energy, you are actually making yourself, all you're actually doing is making yourself magnetic to people who want to break down that barrier and not in a good way.
Oh my God. Right?
And so the woman who walks in and she's like confident and her shoulders are back and she's open and she's looking around because she's empowered to know, like, if you step to me and it's not right, I may be open, but I'm not open and I don't have discernment. I'm open because I do have discernment. And so I feel safe and I feel in control. That's the woman. They're like, don't waste your time with her. Because you can't manipulate her.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? So it's about understanding that. And it's not to say that, oh, now you have to be on the lookout of these guys. I just use that as an example to illustrate how your energy is something that people really are picking up on. And those guys are being trained, you know, for like nefarious purposes to pick up on that. But on a energetic level, everybody is reading your energy when you walk into any space. And so, you know, just do a little check-in, little checkup.
You've given it all to us that dating is definitely a skill, like something that we can practice and learn, and that we can strengthen our love confidence by just practicing self-love and knowing that we are worthy because we exist. Like, that's empowering in itself, knowing you are worthy. You don't have to go out and do anything extra. Like, of course, we're flexing our muscles when we're in the dating scene, but you are worthy because you exist, period. Don't let nobody tell you different.
Exactly.
Yes. Give yourself some grace. Franny, let our girls know where they can find you.
I am at Dear Franny everywhere. As you mentioned at the top of the show, I have a podcast called Dear Franny. I have new episodes every week, all about dating and different aspects of your dating journey. So I definitely invite everyone to check that out. I'm also on Clubhouse. I have a club on Clubhouse called the True Love Society. And every Tuesday, I host a room called True Love Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's all about dating. So definitely come by and listen in and ask your questions. And people can go to spreadtruelove.com. And there's lots of different resources there. You can take the dating archetype quiz. You can purchase the flirting workshop and lots of other things. So, yeah.
Love that so much. Thank you for joining us here today. Like Brittany said, you dropped so many gems. We know our girls will just love the conversation and benefit greatly from all the knowledge that you share. So thank you again.
Yes,
thank
we you. Appreciate
Thanks
you
for
so much.
Having me. Thank you.